Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the ENCE third quarter 2017 results presentation. I now hand over to Mr. Ignacio Colmenares, CEO, and Alfredo Avello, CFO. Gentlemen, please go ahead.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for attending our third quarter 2017 results conference call. I'm here today with our CFO, Alfredo Avello, and our head of IR, Alberto Valdés. After the presentation, we will be pleased to answer any questions you may have. Let me start this presentation with the main highlights of these results and specifically by talking about pulp prices, slide 4. We have been bullish about pulp prices in recent quarters and we continue to be bullish. Pulp demand continues to be strong while new supply is scarce. Prices increased in October again, mainly due to China's ban of mixed recovered paper imports. We have announced a new increase for November to $970 per ton. We believe these market dynamics, along with the lack of new big projects to increase production, will ensure high pulp prices, not only during the next quarter, but in the next 3 years as well. The successful execution of our strategic plan in this price environment is illustrated by the following outstanding results. 77% growth in EBITDA and 183% growth in net income over the same period last year. A cash cost reduction of 16 euros per ton to 346 euros per ton, despite the wood cost increase of 9 euros per ton due to its automatic link to pulp price performance. An annualized EBITDA of over 50 million euros in the energy business thanks to successful M&A and our strong track record in managing this business. A recurrent free cash flow generation of 92 million euros. A low leverage position, one time our last 12 months EBITDA, which allows us to execute easily our strategic plan spending investments. Our pulp capacity increase of 150,000 tons in 2018-2019 is on track. This will increase EBITDA in the pulp business by more than 22 million euros using our strategic plan assumptions of $720 per ton pulp price and an exchange rate of 1.25. Our new 40 megawatt biomass power plant in Huelva will generate 11 million euros annual EBITDA from the second half of 2019. In slide number 5, I would like to elaborate on our expectations for pulp prices. As we have repeated during recent quarters, new capacity will be less than the growth in demand and pulp prices should reflect this situation. We anticipate a tight supply and demand balance in every single quarter of 2018 due to, first of all, capacity integrations and conversions to other pulp grades in Asia, limited new volume from the APP plant, which is now delivering at full capacity and the market has absorbed it without any problem. Fibria's progressive ramp-up of new capacity while at the same time reducing production at other more expensive lines. Inventories at minimum levels for all global eucalyptus pulp producers and customers. Mixed recovered paper ban in China. And finally, April's reduction of pulp supply from Indonesia. We consider that the dynamics of the supply forces should drive pulp prices up in the immediate future and in the long term too. RISI, one of the main consultant firms in the sector, has published a forecast for pulp prices for the next 3 years, which indicates a pulp price of $1,010 per ton in 2020. However, we believe that this price will be reached much sooner due to the lack of new capacity, the continuous demand for pulp in emerging countries, and the more rigorous environmental standards in China. In slide 6, I would like to comment on the situation in China, which we believe will also contribute to the increase in pulp prices in the short and in the coming years. The Chinese government has banned mixed recovered paper imports. Their more rigorous environmental requirements will strengthen demand for virgin pulp to substitute mixed recovered paper and non-wood pulp. This could mean an estimated increase of 5 million tons of imported pulp per year in the short term. This will be a temporary new source of demand, which will have an impact on prices globally. Long term, China will probably increase domestic recovered paper collection. The situation of April's operations in Indonesia will also contribute to a restriction of pulp supply short term, although I'm sure they will solve the problem in the second half 2018. If you move now to slide number 7, you will see our view of pulp demand and supply for the coming years. On the demand side, consumption has increased more than 4% worldwide during the first 8 months of the year, while in China it is growing near 12% year on year. The continuous increment in tissue consumption makes us optimistic about the prospects for the Asian and the rest of the emerging markets. In short, we believe there is a tight demand and supply in the pulp market, which will lead to price increases in both the short and the long term. And now, let's move to slide number 8, where we focus on our figures. As you can see, group EBITDA and net income have increased significantly. The reasons behind the 77% EBITDA growth are an increase in pulp prices and volume sold compared to the same period last year, a strong cash cost reduction of 16 euros per ton despite a 9 euros per ton wood cost increase due to its automatic linkage with pulp prices, and a 44% increase in energy volume sold following our strong M&A initiatives. In slide 9, I would like to elaborate on the continuing reduction in our cash cost. We have achieved 16 euros per ton cash cost reduction compared with the same period last year, mainly as a result of our 40,000 tons capacity expansion and efficiency investments, which has reduced the cash cost by 13 euros per ton, wood cost saving initiatives, which have saved us 9 euros per ton. This has offset the increase of 9 euros per ton due to the automatic linkage of wood cost to pulp prices, a reduction in corporate expenses amounting to 3 euros per ton. Our target for 2020 is still to achieve 325 euros per ton due to our efficiency investments, management initiatives to reduce costs, and capacity increases which reduce the fixed cost. If you move now to slide 10, we show the growth of our energy business. EBITDA increased 90% during the first 9 months of 2017 versus the same period last year. Our organic EBITDA grew 51% with a 7% increase in organic energy volume sold and an 8% rise in average energy selling prices. We also reduced our biomass costs thanks to our successful diversification initiatives. The rest of the EBITDA growth of 39% is explained by a 53% capacity expansion in the last 12 months. Let me highlight our August 2017 acquisition of an EDF power plant in Córdoba, in the south of Spain. We expect to generate an extra 5 million euros of annualized EBITDA after synergies, while we paid a purchase value of 29 million euros. We will continue our successful acquisition strategy, paying reasonable prices and consolidating the biomass power plant sector in Spain. I strongly believe we will surpass our 45 million euros EBITDA target for this year, and we are clearly on track to achieve our target for 2020 of 78 million annualized EBITDA in energy. Turning now to slide number 11, let me explain how these achievements have a positive impact on one of the most important indicators of the company, which is recurrent cash flow generation. During the first 9 months of 2017, we generated more than 90 million euros, an 85% increase versus the same period last year. Our net debt has reduced to 183 million euros after a 24 million euro dividend payment and strategic plan investments of 46 million euros. Our leverage ratio is now very low. At one time, our last 12 months EBITDA clearly below our peers' average ratio of 3.6 times. This leverage level will enable us to complete easily our investments in 2018 and 2019 with very prudent leverage ratios. And now in slides 12 and 13, let me remind you on the next steps of our strategic plan in the pulp and energy business. Firstly, we will add capacity of 30,000 tons during 2018 at our Pontevedra mill, and 40,000 tons will follow in early 2019. Secondly, in Navia, we will add 80,000 tons between the winter of 2018 and the spring of 2019. All in all, our production capacity will reach more than 1.1 million tons by 2020, with an estimated cash cost of 325 euros per ton, in line with our strategic plan. In our energy business, we are building a new biomass power plant in Huelva, where we will have synergies with our two other power plants. The Huelva power plant will generate an annual EBITDA of 11 million euros once completed in the second half of 2019. Let me also remind you of our view of the potential impact of a review of the RI or IRR on our biomass power plants. Our estimate is a reduction from 7.4% to 5.5%, with an annual EBITDA impact of 3.8 million euros from 2020. We are already working on cost-cutting initiatives to 100% offset this impact. I will now invite Alfredo to review the figures of these successful first 9 months of 2017 in more detail.
Thank you, Ignacio. If you move now to slide 15, you can see a summary of our consolidated results driven by the continuous delivery of our strategic plan commitments. Revenue growth is explained through a solid increase in production and prices on both of our businesses, as we will explain in further detail in a minute. Please remember that ENCE adjusts its revenues to the regulatory collars on a monthly basis. Up to date, we have adjusted our revenues down by 4.4 million euros, of which 1.8 are related to the pulp business and the rest to the energy business. Consolidated EBITDA grew by 77% through a steady reductions in the operating cost of both pulp and energy businesses, with a high conversion rate into recurrent free cash flow of 92 million euros, allowing us to dedicate 46 million for the expansion and environmental investments of our strategic plan, 24 for shareholder remuneration, and to further reduce our net debt to a just one-time EBITDA level. All these also resulting in a net profit increase of 183% compared to the same period in 2016. Moving on to slide 16, let me now focus on the operating performance of our pulp business. Volume sold for the period was over 52,000 tons higher, which together with a 7.4% net pulp price increase in euros resulted into 436 million euros of revenues for the pulp business. Our constant cash cost reduction focus led us to 347 euros per ton, 16 euros lower than in the same period 2016, despite a 9 euro per ton increase in its wood component due to the automatic linkage to the evolution of the pulp price, as our CEO has explained as before. Reviewing our estimates for the year, remember that ENCE's strategic plan was built with a synthetic EBITDA using a 720-ton pulp price and a $125 euro exchange rate. With these assumptions, we define a cash cost target of 339 euros per ton for the year. Well, using current pulp price, current exchange rate, and the wood linkage premium, the equivalent cash cost results to be 348, completely in line with our estimates. In the next slide, following the P&L, below the EBITDA line of our pulp business, depreciation, financial expenses, and tax figures are one more time in line with our expectations, and so it should be next quarter. Also again, within the other financial results column, we are showing the positive impact of the dividend contributed by our energy business, partially netted by the FX results for the period. Including all these items, net profit of the pulp business tripled up to 57 million euros compared to 19 obtained in the same period last year. I would like to also take this opportunity to inform you that recent fires in the north of Spain marginally impacted our eucalyptus plantations. Accounting impact for this item will be of approximately 250,000 euros in our P&L this year. Regarding our pulp business cash flow generation, in slide 18, recurrent free cash flow after maintenance capex, working capital changes, interest and taxes increased up to 79 million euros compared to 28 in the same period of 2016. Our working capital needs have increased following the strong price recovery as well as the 8% higher volume sold. Active measures to control these figures are in place in order to mitigate additional impact from the expected price increases to be implemented in the coming months. We have invested 15 million euros in our strategic plan during the period. Most of this figure is still related to the latest capacity expansion at our Navia mill, while CapEx for the fourth quarter will also include payments in connection with the next 30,000-ton capacity expansion at our Pontevedra mill to be executed in March 2018. Asset divestments of 3.2 million euros are mainly related to the sale executions of the last plots from the first phase of our plan. We are currently structuring the competitive process to trigger the second phase, firstly comprising part of our southern plantations, which should contribute with approximately 30 million euros in cash in 2018. In slide 19, let me update you on our hedging program. As you know, ENCE maintains its hedging FX policy with the only aim of mitigating currency volatility. We maintain our zero-cost collar structure strategy with the objective of hedging at least 50% of our expected revenues for the next months. These hedging structures are weekly monitored and timely adjusted, taking into account the expected price increases. At the end of the third quarter, focusing on 2018, we have secured an average cap of 1.15, over 50% of the expected pulp revenues. Turning to slide 20 and continuing with the balance sheet, pulp business net debt ended the quarter at 149 million euros, representing a leverage ratio of just one time LTM EBITDA, well below our committed limit of 2.5 times. Regarding cash position, the pulp business closed the quarter with 180 million euros, also with a 90 million euro RCF fully undrawn. We also benefit from long-term maturities, conservatively aligned with the needs of our strategic plan. Let's now focus on our energy business in page 21. EBITDA of the energy business grew by 90% up to 33 million euros in the period. Of this 90%, 51 PPs are due to a strong organic growth driven by higher volumes, better prices, and a noticeable reduction in the biomass cost as a consequence of our successful biomass diversification strategy. The 39 remember PPs are directly related to the three biomass power plants acquired in the last 12 months, including the rapid materialization of our expected synergies in these plants. Analyzing the current energy business perimeter, our EBITDA run rate is already over 50 million euros prior to the erection of the new Huelva 40 megawatt plant. Continuing with our energy business P&L, below the EBITDA line in slide 22, year-on-year higher depreciation charges are mostly explained by the asset base increase after our last power plant acquisitions. Remaining concepts are again all in line with our expectations. Taking everything into account, our energy business reported a net profit attributable of 10.4 million euros compared with 2 million in the same period of last year. Regarding the energy business cash flow generation in slide number 23, the 44% increase in the energy volume sold, which includes the three new plants acquired, explains the working capital increase for the period, which should be partially offset in the last quarter due to the usual year-end speeding of the payment process by the national grid. Additionally, we have invested over 30 million in our strategic plan during the period, 28 million in the acquisition in August of the EDF 27 megawatt power plant, and 2 million related to the erection of the new Huelva 40 megawatt plant, which is on track to start up in the second half of 2019, as our CEO pointed out previously. Moving now to slide 24, after a 30 million euro strategic plan investment and the 8 million dividend payment to the holding company, net debt position for the energy business increased by only 11 million euros at the end of September, which implies a very low leverage of 0.8 times LTM EBITDA. Our cash cost position at the end of the period amounts up to 80 million euros. As you all know, our strong aim for the energy business is to reach our strategic plan EBITDA target of close to 80 million euros by 2020. In order to achieve this target, we will continue to actively seek for this growth through both greenfield and brownfield opportunities, consolidating the business, arising operating synergies, and maintaining the industrial and financial quality of our energy assets. May I please now return the lead of this presentation back to our CEO for the closing remarks.
Thank you, Alfredo. I wish to conclude this presentation by reinforcing our forecast that pulp prices will remain high because of the tight supply and demand balance. Our results confirm, and will continue to confirm in the future, the strength of our business model, with cash cost reductions and volume increases in the pulp business and new acquisitions in Europe in the energy business. ENCE's EBITDA in 2017 will be over €210 million, with an average pulp price of only $825 per ton, which is, as you know, $145 per ton below current market price. We now see more than 90% of our strategic plan 2016-2020 to be accomplished in spring 2019. That is why we have started to work on a new strategic plan 2019-2023 with the target of increasing again ENCE's volume. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We are now open to answer any questions you may have.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Q&A session starts now. If you wish to ask a question, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you. The first question comes from Josef Rich from CaixaBank BPI. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good afternoon. I have three questions, please. So my first question on this pulp capacity in the Indonesia. How sure are you concerning the production cuts from April in the country? I do not have further details on these potential capacity cuts apart from the news that were in the press. And I think this will be critical, as according to your own estimates, this will put the market from a deficit of 0.6 million tons to a superavit of more than 1 million tons in 2018, if no production cuts are seen in this currency pulp facility in Indonesia. So if you have further details or insights, I think it will be helpful for the market. My second question on the import limits of recycled paper in China. Basically, asking why do you think that this restriction on imports could be a positive driver for pulp demand, because I don't think testliner plants can actually use pulp and kraftliner use mainly softwood. And actually, we have recently commented that volumes, softwood volumes, have actually declined in September, and I think these restrictions started in August. So basically to also have a little bit more color on your assumptions on this restriction and the potential impacts on pulp volumes. And finally, a question on the pulp prices. We have some indications that the resale pulp prices in China are actually below listed prices. Don't you think this could be a negative indication for further pulp prices increases? Or have you ever been able to increase listed pulp prices in China when resale prices were below the listed prices? That will be my question. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jose. I will try to answer your three questions. Well, regarding pulp capacity in restrictions in Indonesia, as we have all heard and we have all written, April has been cancelled in 50% of the plantation the rights to operate and to harvest. The company has announced an impact of 100,000 tons for the fourth quarter due that they have logs on stock and they have pulp in stock. And all the analysts of the market are saying that the impact is going to be 1 million tons next year. It's not an information from ENCE, it's what the analysts of the market are saying. I personally believe, as I said on the presentation a while ago, that they will probably solve this problem by half of the year. But in any case, what we see is that they will lose volume during the first 6 months of the year before they solve this problem. The fact to have such a big volume of hectares producing acacia in peatlands is not a thing easy to be solved, nor in Indonesia, nor in China, and nor in Europe, because today the values of the world are absolutely different than 10 years ago. Then it is a strong problem. And for sure, it will help on the future, tightening demand and supply balance, and for sure, on these next months. Going to your second question about mixed recovered paper, well, you know that in China, they have banned mixed recovered paper imports from 1st of January next year, but they have cancelled any import license from now. If you analyze the Chinese pulp market, and sorry, if you analyze the source of fiber for these 100 million tons of paper produced in China, you've got 5 million of fiber have been coming on the recent years from these imports of mixed recovered paper. Why did the Chinese government ban these imports? Because they want to stimulate the recovered paper locally in China. Is China able to recover 5 million tons from the night to the day? No, it's absolutely impossible. It's impossible in China, it's impossible in Africa, it's impossible in Europe. You need the challenge to recover that. When do we think they will start to recover more and more in order to get these 5 million tons per year? It will take at least 2 or 3 years. That is why we see a new demand of fiber for the paper industry in China, who cannot be supplied with mixed recovered paper, and it has to be supplied with virgin fiber. I don't care if it is short fiber or long fiber, but it is virgin fiber. And it will, and it is, pushing prices up very, very strongly. Regarding your information that reseller prices are today below list prices in China, it's first information. I have not read that. I am not aware about that. But in any case, we are not selling, as you know, we are not selling in China, we are selling in Europe. But what I know is that we launched a new price increase to $970 per ton from 1st of November, and today we are absolutely sure that our customers in Europe will pay this price in November. And I am optimistic about a new price increase in December. Thank you, Jose.
Okay, thank you very much. It was clear. Just a follow-up on the first question. So on the presentation, you put there -1.2 related with April, just to confirm, because you are now saying that eventually in 6 months they will solve this sourcing issue in terms of wood. So could we assume half of this 1.2? So if they solve after 6 months, so eventually will not be -1.2 from April in Indonesia, or probably
else? Well, I am not a magician, I am the CEO of ENCE. What I know is that I'm pretty sure that they will solve this problem. If I were the CEO of April, I can assure you I will do my best to solve this problem. And April is a good company, I'm pretty sure they will solve the problem during the year. My personal best estimation is that it will take maybe 6 months to solve partially the problem, because I insist to produce acacias in peatlands, it's a problem today worldwide. And I'm pretty sure no country will accept these plantations. Then,
okay,
if the impact is going to be 1.1 or 0.6 in the year, I don't have the idea. What I know is that during the final ramp-up of Fibria's new plant in Tres Lagoas, April is not supplying on the market. And it helps to support and to increase prices.
Okay, thank you. But and regarding the second question, so this mixed recovered paper, basically other players or the players that are using this mixed recovered paper can use pulp instead?
Sure,
I'm not aware of this.
Sure, they
I'm
can.
Not aware. Okay.
And let's say that maybe 50% can, and the paper the other 50% is not going to produce will be captured by paper producers using virgin pulp. But China is not going to be on lack of 5 million tons of paper per year.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Jose.
The next question comes from Nuno Stasio from Haitong Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Just a couple of questions more on your operational activity. You have been selling a lot in terms of volume. Can you just give us an idea how much do you expect to sell in fourth quarter? And what are your projections now for next year? And also a question on the CapEx and on the divestments. In terms of the CapEx, your CapEx levels are still quite low this first 9 months of the year. I think you were probably going for around 60 million euro investment. Are we going to see that catch up in the last quarter? In terms of the sale of the assets, I think Alfredo mentioned 30 million euros to be cashed in next year for your land in the south. Is this the same as the book value? And I got it right now. It's 30 million euros cashed in for next year. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Nuno. Regarding our best estimation today of our production and sales for the fourth quarter, we are going to be between 250 and 265,000 tons. We will sell and produce the same amount because the market is very tight, and we are not going to be able to increase our stocks. Then something 2 or 3,000 tons more than 250,000 tons. Production in October has been an absolute record for the company. Then we are pretty confident that we are going to be able to do the figure I mentioned to you. Second question was CapEx for the year. Yeah, as you remember, our strategic plan foresees a CapEx of 73 million euros in 2017, excluding maintenance CapEx, 35 million euros in the pulp business, and 38 million in the energy business, including the recent acquisition of the Cordoba 27 biomass plant. Actual CapEx for the full year 2017 should be very close to these figures. And regarding the sales of our assets, I can confirm you that we are working on this figure for next year. Thank you. No.
And the assets, this would be roughly the book value or above or below?
Well, the total value of the sales in the 4 years will be more or less the book value. Maybe during some quarters we may have profit, and maybe during other quarters we will have some losses.
Okay,
we have to see the total value at the end. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, just a reminder, in order to ask a question, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you. The next question comes from Luis Toledo from BBVA. Please go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon. Just a question from my side. It's regarding customer reaction to the continued pulp price rises. And the level of discounts seems to have maintained. Do you have any perception about them? You just mentioned the willingness to pay for the rises. Do you see any reaction, any change in the mix of customers, or you think that the prices will pass steadily with this current 27% discount?
Yeah, it is too soon to forecast about discounts. The London Pulp Week will take place next week, as you know. Currently, the supply and demand balance is so tight that we do not rule out a reduction on commercial discount next year, but it is too early now.
Thank you very much.
The next question comes from Pedro Echeguren from Bankinter Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my question. Very short one, but when do you think we should hear from you about how the dividend is going to shape as the two remaining payments for the 2017 year? Thank you.
Yes, as you remember, we have a policy who was published a couple of months ago that we are going to pay, roughly speaking, 50% of payout. As you remember, we paid already during this year 26 million euros of dividends. The first 12 million were paid in, if I remember, in spring, were coming from the last year results, and the we have already paid 14 million euros in 2017 as an a dividend for this year, an interim dividend for 2017. In November, we will pay at up 50% of our results till now, and in March next year we will pay the balance, and in total it will be 50%, and the more probably we will pay finally 50%, and in every payment we will adjust to 50% of the accumulated results. Is it clear, Pedro?
It is, thank you.
Thank you very much.
The next question comes from Alberto Sanchez from Fridentis. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I just wanted to ask on your next steps on your biomass business. You've mentioned that you are analyzing potential opportunities to acquire biomass plants in Spain, outside Spain. I just wanted to know which is the breakdown by country that you expect to get in 2020. You've mentioned an EBITDA of 78 million euros in 2020. I would like to know the breakdown between Spain and abroad. Thank you.
Yeah, I would say that 90% is going to be in Spain. Today we are working on Spain.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, just a reminder, in order to ask a question, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions in the conference call. I now give back the floor to Mr. Ignacio Colmenares and Mr. Alfredo Bello for the final remarks. Thank you.
We thank you very much for your attention, and we will meet again in 3 months' time with an even better results for the fourth quarter. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.